In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the age of all ages, Amen. Our meditation tonight will be inspired from the Vespers Gospel reading, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to verse 50. And it is entitled, For She Loved Much. These few verses tell us such a beautiful story that will ever be a witness to the silent love and to the compassionate heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening last night to some comparative religions, and this discussion was focused on how some religions, such as Islam, treats the sinner by condemning them to death. If two individuals were found or caught while sinning, it was more or less as the Jewish law that these two individuals would be stoned to death or executed immediately. But the approach of our Lord Jesus was very strange to the people, and noticeably for this reason he himself was persecuted by the Jews, because they thought that he was not doing the will of God. But actually he was showing God's mercy and God's love towards humanity. The Pharisees were not known in the Old Testament. All the books of the Old Testament never mentioned any Pharisees. This was a relatively new sect that arose within the Jews after the return from the Babylonian captivity by a while. And they were more or less like the Muslim Brotherhood. Like, they didn't have any official rank within the Jewish nation, but some of them had entered into the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling body of the Jews at the time. They started to dress in a certain manner. They wanted to adhere to the law in a very literal way. They studied the law, and they made their presence felt. Our Lord Jesus was not against the Pharisees, as contrary to what some people think, because he did criticize them quite a bit. But his criticism to them was out of love and care. It wasn't out of hatred. Because those whom the Lord loves, these he chastens. So he entered into a Pharisee's house called Simon. And there were certain traditions. When a guest comes to the house, they have to take care of this guest in a certain way. And Simon did not care for his guest, our Lord Jesus, as he should. On the other hand, when this sinful woman entered into his house, she took care of the traditions for receiving a guest, but in her own way. As our Lord Jesus said, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. He was supposed to wash his feet, but he didn't. As for this woman, she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. So without using a towel, she wiped his feet with the hair of her head. And here is the symbol of her glory. A woman's glory is manifested in her hair by sitting underneath the Lord's feet and wiping his feet with her hair. It is a sign of total and complete submission and remorse. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. When we receive a guest in our house, as soon as they come in, we give them a nice kiss on the cheek. But this woman did not look to kiss me on the cheek, but she has been kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil, a very costly type of oil. And again, it was part of the tradition of receiving a guest that they would put some kinds of ointments on his head. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. For she loved much. Our meditation tonight will focus on this part of the verse to see how can we increase our love for the Lord in our own way, within our own talents and giftedness. And how can we make our love practical, not just a matter of saying, but as this woman did, she came and she knelt underneath the feet of our Lord, and she began crying and wiping with her hair and kissing his feet and anointing his feet with the fragrant oil. To give us a guide towards how to love God, the book of Deuteronomy 6:5 mentions to us the different ways or means that we can love God. Our Lord said, "Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And I've taken these three types of love to represent the emotions, to represent the speech, and to represent the works or the actions. And we'll see how each one of them applies here to our meditation. The answer here is to have a holistic type of love. The first type of love is the love of the emotions. Our Lord said, with all your heart. And the sinful woman here did not say any words, but merely with her emotions, she showed a very strong type of love. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, and she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at the feet behind him weeping. And our Lord said about her that indeed she has loved much. Love of the emotions is a very strong type of love. And maybe women are a little bit more talented than men in terms of showing or expressing their emotions. But it doesn't mean that men do not have any emotions. Also, men have their own way of expressing their emotions, but maybe not so much with tears, etc. But these are two different types of emotions. Just, sorry? Skills, yes. It doesn't have to be in the exact same way. Still, some men show emotions through tears, and some women are stronger, but generally, women are gifted in the way that they can express their emotions. And God has embedded this maybe in our mothers for the paternal care and for the women to provide that aspect in a household. But at any rate, emotions are really important for a relationship. Some of us are really tough and we do not know how to express our feelings and our emotions. But this woman had no problem to humble herself underneath the feet of our Lord Jesus. And thus, the Lord, without her speaking one word, he was able to understand what she wanted to say exactly. This kind of love went right through to the Lord's heart. He felt it. And the question is, how many times do we lack emotions in our prayer? We have never really told God if and why we have loved him. So many times in our prayers, we are presented in front of God and we stand and we give one request after the other, do's and don'ts. And even thanksgiving is beautiful. No one says anything. But the Lord at times, He desires this kind of emotions. We need to express to Him why we love Him and how we love Him and how He is Lord and King. These emotions, maybe they will not change who God is, but they will change us as individuals to better understand Him, who He is, to be able to communicate with Him. But our Lord Jesus wants us also to express our feelings, just like any parent who wants their children to express to them some kind of emotions, whether it is through words or whether it is through just silence. The Lord wants to hear our requests. Let our requests be made known unto God. Our Lord told us so many times how much He has loved us. And He has loved us before we loved Him. And He manifested His love to us in so many different ways. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." And the Lord seeks these emotions and He wants to return them to us, as mentioned in John 14:21, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the language of the Holy Scriptures, the language of love and the language of emotions. We see that God is always pursuing us and showing us how deeply He loves us. With an everlasting love, He has loved us. And this is why He has shown us mercy and compassion. The Lord expresses His emotions clearly to us and tells us that we are so much to Him. We mean so much to Him as His children, that He wants to be in this relationship with us. He tells us that He has called us by our name and we are His, you are mine. What a beautiful indication of the Lord's love to us in Isaiah chapter 43. And He assures us that He is caring for us and He is comforting us. As mentioned also in the book of Isaiah 40, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem." And He tells us not to fear. "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And He continues by saying, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It's Isaiah 40. So many beautiful promises by God to comfort us and to show us His emotions towards us. That He wants to be in a relationship with us, to show us the way to be closer to us than our own shadows. He has chosen us before our birth. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations," as He said to Jeremiah. And He has made us into a fortified city. "Before I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar." Our Lord in His love has given us so much strength. Like a fortified city, no enemies could go through it. And a pillar, a strong pillar. This is all language of love and care. And when we had disobeyed Him for a while and gone away from Him, He called us back unto Him. And He reassured us of His covenant towards us by showing us mercy and compassion, as He spoke to Hosea. And he told them, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And even though we have gone astray and betrayed him, he still extends his hand of love towards us. And he still calls us my people. And I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. He has given us, forgiven us our sins, and given us resurrection from our state of fallenness. And at times we were stubborn. We were stubborn to disobey his commands. Yet he extends his merciful hand. And he said that he wants mercy. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And that's why he looked at the sinful woman. And he said to her, for she has loved much. Because she went along with his feelings exactly, that he wants mercy, not sacrifices. He wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is where her heart, his heart is. And this is where the sinful woman came to him. Simon the Pharisee and all his company, they were so occupied with the formalities. Just maybe like example of Martha and Maryam in Luke chapter 10. Martha cared for so many things. She wanted everything to be perfect. The food, the way that she looked in front of her guests. But Mary stood at the feet of our Lord Jesus, or knelt underneath his feet, and was able to look at him face to face. And she has chosen the good portion. It's not that Martha did a bad thing. She did a wonderful thing. She was very hospitable and loving and kind. But the focus of our Lord Jesus is on sitting underneath his feet. He wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's why he said, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your emotions, your physical being, all should belong to him. Secondly, he said that we should love him with all of our soul. And I'm taking here the word soul to represent the speech or the word, the confession of our love to him. It has to start from the heart, from the inside, but definitely any cup, once it's filled, it needs to overflow. You cannot keep filling a cup and still taking in. If it's just taking in, then it has some kind of hole in the bottom there. But if it is the right kind of cup and it's sealed well, it needs to overflow from the top. And the overflow here represents the speech or the words. After the Lord's resurrection, he came to St. Peter. He appeared to him after Peter had denied him 3 times. And in the same manner, he asked him the question, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he asked him the question 3 times. And we find out that the word love has 3 Greek words to represent or are translated love. There is the agape love, which is the highest type of love. There is the philia love, which is the brotherly love. And then there is the eros, which is the sensual love. The word eros actually is not mentioned in the New Testament at all. But philia and agape are both mentioned in the New Testament. And when we go back to the Greek origin of this passage in John chapter 21, we find that our Lord Jesus is asking St. Peter, do you love me? Using the agape type of love. And St. Peter is responding to him by using the word philia. So the Lord basically is telling him, do you love me? And he is answering him by saying, well, I like you a lot. And the second time, our Lord Jesus is asking him, do you love me? With the agape love. And he is responding to him with the philia. And then we find that the third time, our Lord Jesus is asking him with the philia love. And he says, yes, I like you a lot with the philia. At any rate, after our Lord's questioning the three times about his love, he gave him a command. And he said that he should care for his sheep. And when we look at this passage, there is always a command that is attached to us loving our Lord. After we pass through the phase of the emotions, our love to God has to be manifested in a certain way. As he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. And the second time, tend my sheep. And the third time, feed my sheep. So three commands after all the three questions and the responses by St. Peter, that this love needs to be taken into another phase and another level. Now that he has been restored and he has seen the Lord Jesus on the cross and risen from the dead, and he reassured him of his eternal life that is in him, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, and the resurrection and the life, he is asking him to do something. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, the three responses. St. Peter started afterwards to speak about our Lord Jesus publicly, and he converted thousands, to the point that the priests and the Sadducees laid hand on him and imprisoned him along with the other apostles and commanded them not to speak. But listen to the beautiful response by St. Peter in Acts 4, 18 to 20. He said the following. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak. We cannot but speak. I love that so much. The things which we have seen and heard. It's not up to us, it's not optional. After we have so much love for the Lord Jesus, your words are not going to be threatening to us because it became part of our second nature. We cannot but speak. It's out of our hand, out of our control, to witness to our faith and to show other people kindly and softly. The Christian faith or evangelism is not evasive in any way or in your face or pushing. No. But it is part of our nature. Whenever there is an opportunity, we cannot but speak about our faith, what we have seen and what we have heard. The events that transpired in front of the apostles were so profound that it shook their inside, and they could not do anything other than to speak what they have seen and what they have heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go because they couldn't find anything in them. And the people glorified God for what had been done. And for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. So beautiful, because after that transformation that occurred to St. Peter, we find that he couldn't but speak, even if he was threatened. And the same person who had denied in front of a servant girl that he knew our Lord Jesus and that he was his disciple, now he can stand in front of rulers and to witness to his faith without any fear. This is the power of love. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If we are still ashamed to speak about Jesus, our Lord, then our love has not yet been perfected. We need to re-evaluate. And also, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:22, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. This is the command of the Holy Scriptures. If there is no love for us to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're not part of the sheepfold. The third type of love that was really manifested is the love of the works or the actions. With all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. James 2, verse 14 tells us, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And also, 1 John 4:20 tells us, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. How is it possible that I say that I love God, but I can't even get along with my colleagues at work or my family at home or my friends? It's impossible. The love of God, when it penetrates the heart, also penetrates the actions. It changes something about us from inside. We are no longer the same individuals when we have the love of God in our hearts. And thus, St. John tells us in his Gospel that we should have love one another for one another. A new command I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This is again the school of one another. Our Lord Jesus, just like he has love for us, he has left us this command to be in full communion with one another. Yes, we might not be perfect. Each one of us has a weakness. Yet we must strive as individuals, as a family, as a community, to be able to care for those who are weaker until we can help them to become better in their own way. Because what good is it if we just love those who love us? And our Lord said, even the unrighteous people and the Pharisees and even the thieves and the sinners, all these people, they get along with those who care for them and love them. And thus our righteousness should exceed that of the Pharisees and that of the sinners by loving our enemy. And this is love in action. In the Old Testament, there is a beautiful story of practical love, friendly love between Jonathan and David. And as David was being pursued by Saul, who is the father of Jonathan, these two were extra good friends and loyal to one another. And they made an oath with one another. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, then David fled from Naioth in Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father and that he seeks my life? So Jonathan said to him, by no means you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? Is it not so? Then David took an oath again and said, your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, and as the soul, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Then we move along in the same chapter. Verse 8, therefore you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. And just a little bit further down, verse 17, now Jonathan again caused David to vow, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. What a beautiful, practical type of love. Is that he has so much love and care for him that it was a practical type of work. Love. Love of the actions, that he protected him and he was able to care for him against his father who was pursuing his life. This is the type of practical love that we speak about, or St. James was speaking about, is that if I see a brother or a sister who is less fortunate or in destitute, I want to extend a loving hand and a caring hand. And this is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did in the famous verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the spirit of the gospel. It is love in action. Love that is attached to our works. They say that words are cheap. Anyone can say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But unless the husband goes and he helps at home with the chores and the cleaning and the putting everything in order, unless a student goes to help the teacher, or the teacher shows through action that she cares for the student, unless we look at the needs of one another and try to extend a caring and a loving hand, when there is a guest, we can accommodate them and welcome them and show them where we are in the liturgy and introduce them to people, possibly getting out of our comfort zone. It is sometimes uncomfortable to think beyond our own, or where we've always been and what we've always done. But our Lord Jesus is challenging us to go, as we are speaking now about the mission-focused church. The whole concept is to go out of our comfort zone and to see how others around us, what are their needs. Because in helping others, we ourselves are being filled. We ourselves are being served when we feel that we are reaching out to others with the love of Christ. Our Lord said in John 14, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. To lay down one's life for his friends. Really, sacrifice or practical love is the most satisfying. At least in front of God, it might not be evident to people. People will not always see what we do and how we help out, but we are doing it for the glory of God. Whatever hand we are extending, whatever action or works we are doing, we are telling Him, our Lord who sees us in secret, He will reward us openly. This is the type of love that we are learning. Love through the emotions, love through speech or words or preaching, and finally love through works and actions. The sinful woman today is a beautiful example for all of us to follow. She showed us a brand new type of love. It is the love of the emotions. She has loved much. And what great words to be said by our Lord Jesus Himself. Despite all the criticism from those who are around her, she didn't fit into the general society. No one ever asked her why she was a sinful woman. Maybe she didn't want to be a sinful woman. Maybe it was her circumstances or her lifestyle or the lack of a good example around her that led her to this type of life. Everyone just wanted to criticize her and to point fingers at her. But our Lord Jesus gave us a new example of what His mind is. The merciful God, the loving God, who understands and looks beyond the outward appearance. And this is the type of love that we want to have to God and towards one another as a church and as a community. May our Lord Jesus increase our love for Him and help us truly to learn from this beautiful example of love. For she has loved much because she was forgiven much when she felt that the Lord is her Savior and the one who has truly loved her and given Himself for her that she may have life. She expressed so much emotion to him, and she received forgiveness of her many sins. May the Lord bless us this evening and every day of our lives, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.